Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 46 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The Centers for Disease Control estimates that approximately 75% of recently emerging infectious diseases affecting people originated in animals.
Dr. and Ohio Representative Terry Johnson says humans need to pay closer attention to the well-being of animals and the environment around them.
Olive Hill will update its aging water lines with help from a new grant.
And a Salvation Army holiday campaign is bringing temporary employment and social service support to those in need.
In sports, the Round County boys basketball team gets their new season underway tonight.
But Luke brings us the stocks.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 28 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Human remains found during a bulldozing off I-64 in Bath County Monday have been identified. LEX-18 reports dental records have confirmed the body belonged to Crystal Warner, who disappeared along with her boyfriend Bobby Jones after visiting their tenant in a remote cabin in Washington County. Jones's body was found back in August in Clark County. The tenant, Craig Pennington, is being charged in the killings.
Olive Hill is getting a $243,000 grant from the Appalachian Regional Commission. Mayor Kenny Fankel says the city will spend the money on replacing its aging and leaking water lines.
We got lines that 70, 80 years old. They're 15, 20 foot deep. We're going to relocate, get them out of the streets if possible, run through the old railroad beds.
Olive Hill officials say the leaky water lines have cost the city over 2.1 million gallons of water each month at a price of more than $3,600. Fankel says the ARC money should cover the bulk of the cost to replace the downtown lines. The city, though, also plans to replace the Tick Ridge water tank. It earlier received loan approval for $883,000 from the Kentucky Infrastructure Authority for the entire project. Fankel says Olive Hill won't need all that money now thanks to the ARC grant. Work on the project will begin next year.
A location for Lewis County's new Central Elementary School has been picked, MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, plans call for the $15 million two-story facility to be built in the area of the current superintendent's office on Plumbers Lane. No decision has been made at this point as to where the staff of that office will relocate to while the construction is going on. The new building will replace the structure that has served as Lewis County's Central Elementary School for the past 80 years. Superintendent Jamie Weddington says once the new facility is completed in the next couple of years, the old school will be torn down. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Rowan County Superintendent Marvin Moore says the $4.5 million renovation project at the district's high school was worth every penny. Moore says the upgrades extended its lifespan of the 34-year-old facility.
It's really changed the complete overall aesthetics and looks inside the high school, and we're very pleased with it. And I think it's been a project that it's going to serve this community well for the next 20, 25 years.
Moore says to build a replacement for Rowan Senior High, it would probably cost about $50 million. The improvements that were completed last summer at the school included a new secure front entrance along with updates to the building's technology, its commons and locker areas, gymnasium and dressing rooms, along with the installation of a new concessions area.
Ohio lawmakers are pondering a bill to permit the state auditor to conduct performance audits at public universities and community colleges. The legislation introduced this week in the Senate Finance Committee would allow one audit of a higher education institution every 2 years. The plan has the support of the Ohio Association of Community Colleges. OACC Vice President Tom Walsh says the rising cost of a post-secondary education is a major concern for Buckeye students and their families.
Our institutions are continuously striving to identify and implement new and innovative measures to ensure that higher education remains accessible and affordable. Expanding the auditor's authority under this bill provides a common sense option to help institutions identify some of these savings and also ways to improve efficiencies on our campuses.
The OACC represents 23 community colleges in Ohio.
Families with a sick loved one will take comfort in a bill approved Wednesday in the U.S. House of Representatives. That's according to Kentucky Congressman Brett Guthrie, who is among those voting for the so-called 21st Century Cures Act. The Bowling Green Republican says the measure includes more than $6 billion for medical research, as well as funding to speed up the review process for new drugs.
All of us have families that come to our offices, and they're advocating for research or for cures for disease that they've lost a parent over, or a child, or they have their child with them that has the disease, and they're just hoping for a move forward.
The bill passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. However, critics argue an accelerated timetable for approval of emerging drugs and medical devices could expose patients to new risks.
A Scioto County physician who serves in the Ohio legislature says we need to be more concerned about the health of animals and the ecosystem. Dr. Terry Johnson is a state representative from McDermott. He says the Federal Centers for Disease Control estimates that 3/4 of the diseases now being spread among people originated in animals.
Recent disease outbreaks affecting people that resulted from contact with animals or other vectors include Ebola, avian influenza, salmonella, and the Zika virus. And just very topical, over in Holland right now, they had to kill 190,000 ducks because they were worried about the avian flu.
Johnson says the health of animals, people, and the environment they share is intrinsically linked.
The Ashland Post of the Salvation Army is looking for volunteers and part-time employees to help with its holiday Red Kettle campaign. Lieutenant Jane Monroe says workers can choose their own hours within the 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. shifts. They'll be ringing bells at any of the 15 collection locations throughout Boyd, Greenup, and Lawrence counties.
A lot of them are volunteers. We do also have ringers that are paid minimum wage. A lot of them normally don't have other jobs throughout the year, or they have short-term jobs. And we have a shelter that provides for those who are coming through the area or live in the area, and the money helps to provide for that and keeps the lights on in our building, provide food, and take care of the shelter.
Monroe says donations also support social services throughout the year and help families who need food, clothing, and presents at Christmas. The campaign raised about $111,000 in 2015 and is looking to collect $120,000 this year. It concludes on December 24th.
The man who will become the next Kentucky House Speaker says the Republican leadership team will caucus soon to iron out its legislative strategy for next year. State Representative Jeff Hoover says the group must decide on a limited and realistic agenda.
It'd be impossible to get all the things done that folks want us to get done, that we would like to get done. So we're going to have to establish priorities at that caucus meeting, and we'll have those discussions. What are the four, maybe five things that we really want to get done and can get done and have the votes to get done this session, and then figure out how to get them done?
Hoover talked with reporters after Wednesday's House GOP leadership elections in Frankfort.
After nearly 30 years of being a member of the majority party in the state house, an Eastern Kentucky Democrat admits that now being in its minority will make it more challenging for him to accomplish things for his district. However, veteran lawmaker Rocky Adkins of Moorhead remains confident he can still help the citizens of Rowan, Elliott, and Lewis counties.
I understand the process very, very well, and I understand, you know, what you have to do to be able to get things done. And it's about compromise. It's about working with other people on both sides of the aisle. I think I have the experience, and I think I have the expertise to continue to get things done, to continue to have progress come to the legislative district that I represent.
Adkins says his good working relationship with the new Republican House Speaker Jeff Hoover will help. After nearly a century of holding the Kentucky House, Democrats lost control of the chamber in last month's elections. The GOP now have a 64-36 seat majority there.
The commissioner of the Kentucky Department for Financial Institutions says he's not against offering incentives to bank employees for selling additional services and opening new accounts for their customers. Charles Weiss says it all depends on how it's done. He says an incentive program should have at least three guiding principles.
Number one, what behavior are you incenting? Make sure you know that and understand it. Number two, what processes and procedures have you put in place to make sure you can control this and have some control over it? And number three, what are your checks and balances? So incentive plans aren't bad, but you have to have those three things relative to it.
Vice says Wells Fargo employees opened 2 million unauthorized accounts for their customers. He says the firm was ordered to pay a $190 million fine as a result. However, he contends just $5 million went for customer restitution. That breaks down to $2.50 per customer.
Agriculture officials say farmers in 10 southeastern Kentucky counties may be eligible for federal aid as a part of an agricultural disaster declaration due to the drought. State Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles says the drought has hurt crops and forced livestock producers to feed hay earlier than usual because their pastures are depleted. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack has notified Governor Matt Bevin that Bell, McCreary, and Whitley counties have been designated as agricultural disaster areas. Quarles' office says farmers in contiguous counties also may be eligible for aid. Those counties are Clay, Harlan, Knox, Laurel, Leslie, Pulaski, and Wayne in Kentucky.
University of Kentucky agricultural economists say the state's net farm income could drop to its lowest level since 2010. They credit a recent decline in farm income to sharply lower cattle prices, along with large grain stockpiles and the lowest tobacco receipts of the post-tobacco buyout era. On the positive side, they say poultry receipts are back on track. UK ag economist Will Snell said today Kentucky's net farm income, the amount left after expenses, is expected to drop below $1.5 billion in 2016, down from $1.7 billion last year. That's a long way off from the peak of nearly $3 billion in 2013. This year's agricultural cash receipts are projected to drop 7% to $5.4 billion, down from a record high of $6.5 billion in 2014.
If you've been putting off paying a parking ticket that you got in Lexington, there's time for you to settle that fine and help feed families this holiday season. Karen Czar explains.
2 weeks ago, Adele Brown's meter ran out in downtown Lexington, which landed her a $15 ticket. Instead of paying in cash, she dropped off 10 cans of food to the Lex Park office on North Broadway. The cans were put in large God's Pantry food bins, and Miss Brown's fine is marked paid in full.
I think it's a great idea. I would much rather just feed people than pay money.
This is the third year Lex Park has offered the Food for Fines program. Lex Park Executive Director Gary Means calls it a win-win for the department and the community.
It's really kind of a perfect storm. You know, nobody really likes paying parking citations. We know that. But most everybody likes helping people. So it's really just kind of that perfect storm. We had a person that was working for us last year who, you know, they have some upset customers that come in here. And she said, I think it's been like a month since anyone's yelled at me. But yes, most people are coming in with smiles on their faces.
You can pay off your fines with canned food items until December 16th. Just drop off 10 cans for every $15 owed at Lex Park. This year's goal is 10,000 cans of food, and all of it ends up on the God's Pantry shelves for families right here in Lexington. Reporting from Lexington, I'm Karen Czar.
A group promoting many of Kentucky's bourbon producers has added a staff member to take the lead in spreading the word about responsible consumption. The Kentucky Distillers Association on Wednesday named Ali Edelston as its first ever director of social responsibility. The Louisville native begins the job January 2nd. Her hiring comes a few months after a state law took effect, allowing tourists to sip cocktails and purchase more whiskey during distillery tours. KDA Bourbon Ambassador Colleen Thomas says the position was planned before the law was enacted, but she says KDA wants to step up its message of responsible consumption as distilleries start serving cocktails. Thomas says Edelstein will work with other groups to combat overconsumption and underage drinking.
Next Wednesday, a special event in Grayson will mark the 75th anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. A memorial event will be held that day at the Kentucky Veterans Cemetery to remember those members of the U.S. Armed Services who lost their lives on that day. The service will feature the West Carter High School Color Guard and POW/MIA ceremony, along with a speech by retired Army Colonel Ralph Newman. Dolores Sarpis is the event's lead organizer.
I'm hoping that people will come out and respect the 2,403 souls that died that day. You know, in World War II, we lost 295,000 men and women. To me, freedom is very precious. People have begun to take it for granted. It has been bought and paid for at an extremely high price. I just want to remember those people.
The Pearl Harbor Memorial Event will start next Wednesday at 1 p.m. It will be open to the public. Your weather for tonight, partly cloudy, patchy valley fog late, lows in the upper 20s. On Friday, mostly sunny with patchy valley fog early, lows in the mid-40s, highs in the mid-40s. Friday night, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 20s. On Saturday, partly sunny, highs in the lower 40s. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, lows in the lower 30s. And on Sunday, cloudy with a chance of rain and a slight chance of snow, highs in the mid-40s. Chance of precipitation is at 40%. In Ashland right now, it's 46 degrees. In Flemingsburg, 45. Inez, 45. Lexington, 46. Winchester, 46. And here in Moorhead, on MSU's campus, it's 46 degrees.
The time is 4:46. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. On our feature segment, a new study shows expansion of Medicaid through the Affordable Care Act has been the main driver in increasing preventive health screenings for Kentucky adults. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre has more.
More Kentuckians are getting preventive health screenings, and a new study shows Medicaid expansion is a big reason why. Research commissioned by the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky shows a huge spike in oral health screenings. For example, in the second quarter of 2016, Medicaid paid for more than 43,000 Kentucky adults to get a dental checkup, many of them for the first time in years. Dentist Laura Hancock-Jones says the screenings often identified high blood pressure in the patient, leading to a referral to a primary care physician.
The heart disease is a silent condition, so a lot of them aren't aware that it is something that they're experiencing, and like their toothache, which is very painful for them.
Hancock-Jones, who is chair of the Kentucky Oral Health Coalition, says chronic infection in the mouth often impacts one's general health. The ongoing study into the impact of the Affordable Care Act by the foundation also shows a steady increase in screenings of Medicaid patients for breast and colorectal cancer, diabetes, and hepatitis C. Gabriella Acalde with the foundation notes that among the Medicaid population, nearly 9 out of every 10 women screened for breast cancer obtained coverage when Medicaid was expanded. Acalde says that's significant because lower-income women face a higher risk of later-stage breast cancer.
Now they have access to screening and they have access to the care that's necessary should they have to have any treatment or follow-up. Increasing access through health care not only improves health, but it also protects people economically.
Hancock-Jones oversees a dental clinic that serves 5 counties in western Kentucky. She says many of the patients who obtained oral health coverage through Medicaid expansion came to the dentist before the doctor, making it a triage point for health care. Hancock-Jones says that underscores the importance of collaborative health care.
Just trying to coordinate with the different behavioral health specialists and the primary care physicians is really what's best for patients. The ability to care coordinate is really improving the care that's delivered in the state.
I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
The time is 4:48. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Jacob Lindberg. We're glad you're with us on this Thursday evening. Braxton Howard has some sports news for you in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Moorhead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Moorhead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Rhyon County boys basketball team opens the 2016-17 season tonight. Coach Sean Thacker will lead his Vikings to Montgomery County for an 8 o'clock battle with the Indians.
It's a really good opener for us. This will be the second year that we've opened up with them, and we think it's good for us. Out-of-region opponent, well-coached team, hostile environment. I think our kids are looking forward to it.
Montgomery is led by former round star Matt Daniel. The Tribe beat the Vikings in last season's opener 62-60 in Moorhead. Round's Lady Vikings start their season tomorrow night at home against Johnson Central. Moorhead State acting head basketball coach Preston Spradlin vows the Eagles will battle their way out of their current doldrums. Despite shooting 51% last night, MSU dropped its fourth straight game as it lost at home to Northern Kentucky 84-79. Despite the recent lack of success, Spradlin is not worried about his team's confidence level.
I think they're okay mentally. You know, obviously getting a win would really, really help with that mental aspect. But I got to keep hammering home that what we're doing, we believe in it, and we keep doing it, and we keep getting better.
The 2-4 Eagles will face their biggest challenge of the season to date on Saturday afternoon when they visit number 15 Purdue. The Moorhead State women's basketball team last night suffered a 94-53 loss at number 16 West Virginia. MSU shot just 32% from the field. The Mountaineers dominated inside, scoring 30 second chance points. Even though it was a rough defeat, Coach Greg Todd believes there are things the Eagles can take away from the game moving forward.
Some areas that were exposed that could also give us trouble when we're playing schools similar to us in size or in our conference. So yes, I do think that part of it is not a bad thing.
The 5-3 MSU women's next game is Saturday at Johnson Arena against 1-6 Lipscomb. 11 Moorhead State football players are on this year's All Pioneer Football League team. MSPR's Nathan Gutierrez has more.
Senior linebacker Ryan Bennett is a first-teamer. Bennett ranked third in the PFL with 102 total tackles. Senior slot receiver Jake Raymond led MSU's second-team contingent. He caught 73 passes this fall for 844 yards. Offensive linemen C.J. Phillips and Liam Maloney were also all PFL second-teamers, along with junior defensive end Colt Briggs, who led the Eagles with 7 sacks. Record-setting quarterback Austin Gayhafer, junior center Kyler Corbett, senior defensive end Dustin Casey, senior safety Brandon Louder, junior cornerback Braylon Cook, and senior punter Pat DeSalvio were all honorable mention picks. Reporting from Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
The struggling Cincinnati Bengals are at home this weekend looking to end a 3-game losing streak when they host the Philadelphia Eagles. Head coach Marvin Lewis says his team is going to have to be well prepared for Eagles rookie starting quarterback Carson Wentz.
Really got to have a great focus of detail, I think is important. Playing with a young quarterback who's done a good job this year, particularly early in the season, of protecting the football, and got off to a really good start as their season started 3-0. He's done a nice job. He's got, seems like, great presence in the pocket.
The Bengals are 3-5-1 on the year, while the Eagles sit at 5-6. Some notes from around the NFL. Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski will have back surgery on Friday and is expected to miss the remainder of the season, according to ESPN. The Chicago Bears have announced today that quarterback Jay Cutler will have surgery to repair his labrum and will be placed on injury reserve. And after having emergency eye surgery, Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer will not be on the sideline for his team's game tonight against Dallas. Johnson Central is getting set to face Franklin Simpson for the state Class 4A football title. The game between the 13-1 Golden Eagles and the unbeaten Wildcats is on Sunday at 4:45 in Bowling Green. It will mark the second year in a row that Coach Jim Matney and Central have made it to the title game.
As a coach, you know, as a player, that's what you talk about from the time you're big enough to hold a football. And, you know, as a youngster, you pretend to be playing in the state championship.
Johnson Central is hoping for better fortunes this year after losing 2015's 4A championship to South Warren 36-6. The Kentucky football team is eagerly awaiting a bowl invitation, which it should receive in the next few days. Saturday's upset of 16th-ranked Louisville helped the Wildcats finish at 7-5. It's the most wins by a UK team since 2009 and the most under Coach Mark Stoops in his 4 years on the job. Stoops called the situation rewarding for a lot of people.
You know, our fan base has waited a long time, and again, you know, we know the ups and downs that we've gone through, but they, you know, deserve a football team that they're proud of. These players care. They work hard. Our administration has been so supportive.
Early projections say the Cats could end up in either the Music City Bowl in Nashville or the Tax Slayer Bowl in Jacksonville. Tax Slayer Bowl President Rick Catlett said yesterday Kentucky is at the top of his bowl's wish list if Alabama beats Florida in the SEC championship game. Finally, in sports, Major League Baseball and its players' union avoided a potential lockout last night when they agreed upon a 5-year collective bargaining agreement that will run through the 2021 season. In the new deal, the luxury tax threshold will rise from $189 million to $195 million next year and to $210 million in 2021. That's it for sports. For Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Women's basketball welcomes Lipscomb at noon on Saturday. Single game and season tickets for both men's and women's basketball are available from Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly lower as declines in tech offset a rally in financial stocks while investors digested economic data. And as I say, the broader market was weak, even though the Dow Industrials finished with a gain, as the blue chip average was up 68.35 at 19,191.93. The S&P 500 was down 7.73 at 2191.08, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 72.57 at 5251.11. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 3-2 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Earlier in the session, energy stocks popped more than 1%, boosted by even more sharp gains in oil, as West Texas Intermediate futures for January delivery rose 3.25% to settle at $51.06 a barrel, this a day after spiking more than 9%. And, of course, yesterday OPEC and Russia agreed to restrict production, even as analysts warned other producers were likely to increase production. In economic news, the IHS Market U.S. Manufacturing Index reading for November came in at 54.1, mainly driven by domestic sales, as new orders from abroad increased only marginally since the previous month. And survey respondents cited competitive pressures and also the strong dollar affecting overseas business. The ISM Manufacturing Index came in at 53.2 for November, while construction spending rose 0.5% for October before the bell. Initial jobless claims came in at 268,000. And, of course, many market watchers will be anticipating tomorrow morning's non-farm payrolls report from the federal government. U.S. Treasury yields rose with a benchmark 10-year Treasury finishing at 2.44%. In corporate news, Dollar General reported a same-store sales drop in the latest quarter, and the stock was down almost 5%. Also, CLARCOR is being bought by Parker Hannifin for $4.3 billion in cash and assumed debt, and this equates to $83 a share. And gold futures for February delivery fell $4.50 to settle at $1,169.40 an ounce. And among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Goldman Sachs and GE, and the worst performers were Intel and Visa. And in the S&P 500, the best performers were Southwestern Energy and General Motors, and the worst performers were Microchip Technology and Analog Devices. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down $2.34 at $110.36, CSX up $0.81 at $36.62, AEP down $0.87 at $58.18, AK Steel up $0.19 at $9.32, Marathon Petroleum up $0.66 at $47.68, and Anthem was up $3.35 to finish at $145.23. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Your weather for tonight, partly cloudy, patchy valley fog late, lows in the upper 20s. On Friday, mostly sunny with patchy valley fog early, highs in the mid-40s. On Friday night, partly cloudy with lows in the upper 20s. And on Saturday, partly sunny with highs in the lower 40s. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, lows in the lower 30s. In Ashland right now, it is 46 degrees. In Flemingsburg, 45 degrees. Inez, 45. Lexington, 46. Winchester 46, and here in Moorhead on MSU's campus, it's 46 degrees.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, and Chaz Jenkins. From WUKY, Karen Czar, and from the Kentucky News Connection with our feature, Greg Stottlemyer. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.